melanated. Millennial then married black boy Joey and black girl Magic.
You wanna see us fail? Oh man, that's tragic.
Relationships and family, we gon' discuss everything.
Keep it real, no cap, boy, I put that on my wedding ring.
Melanated. Millennial then married. Melanated. Millennial then married. Melanated. Millennial then married. Melanated.
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's your girl, Ronette.
It's your boy, T.Y. What's poppin', y'all?
Welcome to Melanated, Millennial,
and Married.
And today, we're going to be speaking with a
sex therapist.
Part two. Can you tell us more about you, Natasha?
Yes, so my name's Natasha Riley. I am the owner and founder of Javery Integrative Wellness Services. So I'm more so focused on women being able to communicate what they need as far as sexual pleasure, learning their desires, and I also work with couples learning how to communicate with each other as it pertains to sex, sexual wellness, and good sex.
Great, great. And tell us where you're from.
I am living in Atlanta. I'm a military brat, but I've been in Georgia so long, people make me claim it, so.
We got a couple questions for you, some from ourselves and some from some of our listeners. So the first question is, how do you know if the time is right to be sexually active with a new partner without rushing things?
That's such a loaded question because it's going to be different for everyone. There is no right time. It's about the time that's right for the couple. And if they're having that conversation, then they should be able to know when that time is for them. It could be a day after they meet. It can be a week after they meet. It could be a year after they meet. But that's a conversation they need to be having fairly early on when they meet someone.
I 100% agree. I feel like some women feel like that in that sense, they should just wait. When they actually, sometimes they just want to just go ahead and do
it. So
you're
speaking for women?
Mm-hmm. I'm not speaking for women. I'm speaking on from what I hear in the streets.
Oh, so you hear stuff about women in the streets?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, so speaking of that, and you said you advocate for women especially, how do you feel about, and this ain't even one of the questions, but this just on the top of my head, how do you feel about women being called whores because they have a lot of different sexual partners, but if a man has a lot of different sexual partners, he's not a whore?
So like, we're going into the double standard.
Yes,
today.
We are. Okay.
And that bothers me so much because that is why women stifle their sexual creativity and their sexual exploration. Because they're being called out that, you know, because they're being stigmatized for that. But a man can do what he wants, and it's great. You're the man. I feel right. Like women should be given that same platform. Why is it she can't only have four bodies? I don't know. That's just a random number. But who says that there's a line for her? Like, where did that come from and why? You know, because she deserves that exploration too.
I think music play a role in that, of course.
I agree.
It's just what people see as kids and growing up. And they just feel like, man, my girl got to be this, that, and the other. But in actuality, anyone can lie to you and you would just go with it. Like, all right, cool. She only had two sex partners. Cool. I'm with it.
Right. And that's probably what's happening. She's not telling the truth. Which doesn't feel good either, because if this is someone you plan on being with, I should be able to be completely honest with you and not feel judged.
Yep.
That's true. That's true. Okay. I agree with you on that one.
I know all the males. Like, no, tell them.
I mean, I can back it, but at the same time, it's just like, is it a conversation that's worth it? You know what I mean? Because it is true. Men do think like that. I thought like that in my younger years. Like, man, she done had about five of the homies already.
But have sex with them, though. You just don't wife them.
That's true.
Why?
It's a stick and move.
Well,
I'm and just then saying how it is.
If it's a subject that shouldn't be had, why ask the question?
Hello?
Silence.
Exactly. All right, don't ask what you don't want to know. Don't ask.
Next question. So do you feel that sex is an integral part of a marriage?
It's an important part. I'm not going to take that away from it. I always say that between sex and finances, those are two of the hardest conversations that couples have. They're like the hardest. Nobody wants to talk about it. We'll sweep it under the rug. I think it's important, but it should not be on the forefront. Again, for me, it always goes back to communication. As long as you're communicating what you need and your partner is willing to their best ability to meet that, then you should be fine.
I agree. Right. I mean, I'm gonna be a little transparent right now. Like, I feel like after being with someone for so long, everything isn't always like it was. Like, sex isn't gonna be as fun. Like, you might wake up in the middle of the night.
So you'll be having fun, G?
That's not what I'm
saying. I'm just, let me know.
I said I'm about to be transparent. Okay. Give me a second. Let me talk.
I'm just playing.
But it's not going to always be the same. Like, you might wake up in the middle of the night and she just be like, roll over and give you a little side booty. Like, you got to take what you can get sometimes. I've been there. Not going to lie. but other times, like, it's just, sometimes that conversation has to be had. Mm-hmm. My wife and I, we actually had been through a rough patch before. Like, that's fine. It happened. Is it still a rough patch right now? Absolutely not. I'm going nuts in that
thing. You know what? But... Too far.
I'm just saying.
And I can appreciate you saying that and acknowledging that, because a lot of people think that how they started, like, especially if you've been in a long-term relationship and y'all been together since y'all were 18, everyone knows 18-year-old sex and 30-year-old sex, two different sex.
Listen, because I don't got Megan knees no more. I'm just saying.
You know, and then you include becoming parents and having kids and having multiple kids and working jobs, and that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So those things need to be taken into account sometimes when someone says, you know, sex is the most important part of our relationship, but there's so many moving parts to our relationship. How do we make it fit so that everything is balanced and we're both feeding into each other's needs?
Yep. So what is the most common problem that people talk to you about?
To be honest, it is low desire, you know, and it mainly comes from women. They have low desire. They can't reach an orgasm, and then their partner is unhappy. And why can't we do it all the time? Or why are you not wet? Or do you not want it? Things like that. That's what they come in for.
And what advice do you give them?
Mainly, we have to figure out how we got here. Mm-hmm. A lot of times with the couples that I've seen, the reason they came is because sex is the problem, but that's not where it started.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go backwards and figure out what's the real issue, you know, because for women, we're very thought-driven people. You know, if our mind is not there, our body is not there. So if you made me mad earlier because you didn't do the dishes, best believe I'm still thinking about them dishes and you're not getting it because my body's not here for it.
Yep.
Wow, is that serious?
You knew that already.
I did, but I didn't know. I thought it was just you.
No, it's not just me.
I mean, seriously, if she mad or she upset, like, She might do it because I want to do it. No. Sometimes.
No, I won't.
But I can tell she don't want to do it. And it's like, mm-hmm. All right, but I'm done.
Whatever.
Yeah, because we're stimulated. Women are stimulated in their mind first. Like, I always look at the fact that men, when they're ready to have sex, they're ready. They're at attention. Let's do this. Jump on. But for women, it takes at least 15 to 20 minutes for us to get there. Like, there needs to be foreplay. There needs to be stimulation. I can't just jump on it because I'm not ready. So if I'm preoccupied with something else that happened with us earlier in the day, it's going to take that much longer.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. Understandable. If a person is having problems within their sex life, and in their relationship, How do they approach that conversation, though?
Honestly, I think a lot of the issue is ego, and everyone gets so defensive when it comes to those conversations. Again, it's the same thing with finances. You can't go to somebody and start talking to them about their money without them getting defensive.
Yep.
So a lot of times we have to not take things personal. You know, so if I go to my partner and say, you know, last night I wasn't really feeling it. You know, I didn't really get where I wanted to go. The reaction usually is, so you're trying to say I'm not good. You're trying to say it wasn't good. That's not what I'm saying. It's not a reflection of you. It could honestly be a reflection of me, but I want to have this conversation. So people have to take their egos out of it and not be so selfish about the situation.
Yeah. And with that being said, also don't go to them like, yeah, last night was trash. Like, you have to take
right
their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Agreed.
What do you do if your partner isn't pleasing you sexually? I guess that goes with the other question.
Yeah, it's all about communication. And also, does the person know what they like? Like, do you know what you need to even have that conversation?
And I think that's
like, you can't
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. You can't expect someone to know your body if you don't know your body.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing. It's a conversation that has to be had. Like you said, like, you have to be able to tell me, like, I like it like this, or, you know, like, do right there. I won't just like that. Don't move. Like, I want to know that feedback, so that way I know I'm getting you where you're supposed to be. Because sex is a thing for both of you. It's not just for one party. It's for both of y'all. So if both of y'all are not having fun, then it's not really that enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to trust as well. Do you guys trust each other to guide each other during sex? You know, or are you embarrassed about talking? Are you embarrassed about moaning? Are you embarrassed about what your face looks like when you orgasm? Like, we're in our head so much that we're not even in that moment. So we end up missing out on everything, which is a lot of the issues with an orgasm. Like, if you would allow your body to feel the sensation, say what you want, moan, you know, feel free in that moment with your partner, you're more likely to achieve that because you're not thinking about anything. You're feeling everything.
Yeah. Okay. How does mental health have an effect on your sex life?
So there are different aspects to that. So if you think about, for instance, people that suffer with depression, they have like low confidence, low self-esteem. So for instance, think about a busy couple. If, you know, the depressed one goes to their partner and says, I want to have sex, and their partner says no, that can take them into a spiral because they put that, you know, they take ownership of that and they start to begin like, I'm not attractive. They don't love me. They don't want to be with me anymore. And it kind of takes them into a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you go on the opposite end and you have this really manic person who is just euphoric and is loving life, they may start putting themselves in risky behaviors, putting themselves in situations that they, you know, are not safe and could cause them to get an STI or, you know, an unwanted pregnancy or anything like that. So mental health plays a part in sex as well. And then medications, you know, if you have a mental health thing going on and you're taking medications, some of those medications have side effects, which happen to do with your libido and your desire and the functioning of your genital area. So those are definitely things to pay attention to and have those conversations with your doctor.
And I just want to add, definitely know your partner too. Speak to your partner about having mental health issues. Don't just let it be a surprise. And then be supportive of your partner. If you're going to stay with that person, knowing the things that they have to deal with, then you need to be supportive and not, and be careful of the things you say, because like Natasha just said, when people are depressed, they take ownership over a lot of things that they shouldn't take ownership over. And so be careful with your words and the way that you treat them. Yeah, that's it.
Agreed.
does celibacy or abstinence, is it psychologically healthy, or can there be negative effects?
It depends on if that celibacy and abstinence is voluntary or involuntary. So if someone chooses, I know sometimes there are men and women who just say, you know, for the next year, I'm going to love on me. I'm not going to have sex. You know, I'm going to get back into the things that I love and the hobbies. That's great. That can be enlightening. But if you have a person that has not chosen that path, it can get, you know, to them. It can mess with their thought process. And it goes back into that self-confidence and that self-worth. I'm not having sex. Nobody wants me. Nobody finds me desirable. Then that can have negative psychological effects. Even in a relationship, sometimes there are sexless relationships. And if the communication is not being had between the partners, again, that's involuntary celibacy and abstinence. There are some partners who, or some couples that haven't had sex in years. If one person is not okay with that, they take ownership of that. You don't love me. I'm not desirable to you. You don't want to touch me. You're cheating on me. So it really just depends on how they got down that path.
Okay.
That's deep.
Why is it deep?
Because I just feel like some people, I think celibacy like is a good thing for some people, because some people do need time to themselves and need to find themselves. But for other people, like, I mean, men and women, I'm not just gonna speak for men and women, they like to test drive the car before they buy. So I don't want to jump into anything. I don't want to go buy the new Chevy if I ain't test drove it yet.
Okay.
I'm just saying. She looking at me crazy, like, I'm just saying. I think I make perfect sense. Fellas, I know I make perfect sense. Y'all can DM me and holler at me.
I mean, you do make sense. I'm on the fence though, because if a woman feels like she doesn't want to, or a man feels like they don't want to have sex until they're married, then that's the thing that they feel. And then it does become involuntary, but then it's like, do you love that person enough to respect their wishes? And if so, then
Exactly.
you continue with the relationship. If not, then you don't. That don't mean because I'm celibate or because I'm a virgin to go cheat on me until we get married and then have sex with me. Like, it doesn't mean that.
Right.
So y'all gotta be in here together.
I understand, but I feel like sometimes you can love a person a lot and be willing to wait. But God damn, how long I gotta wait? You know, like,
Until they're ready.
I get that. And I understand that. And hey, I'm a true believer in protect and respect. And brothers, y'all understand what I mean by that. But sometimes it goes kind of far sometimes. And then what if it's kind of being led on too? Like, what if the woman is wearing certain things? Like, it's certain things that,
First of all, pause, because you
come on,
already
yeah,
know
like,
what I'm finna say.
come
Now you
on.
finna get mad.
Uh-oh.
It does not matter what a woman has on. If she chooses she don't want to have sex, she ain't gotta have sex.
I
I can have
understand
on
that though.
coochie cutters and a tank top. I can have on underwear. If I say no, nigga, no.
Okay, I'm not saying to just jump into it, but I said being led on. That's
If
not all
she
I like to see.
already said, I don't want to have sex. Take it for what she said.
Let me speak now.
All
Can I
right, go
go?
ahead. Go ahead, bro.
Jeez. So being led on is kind of like, you ever seen that thing on Facebook when the woman wears the coochie cutters and the tank top and y'all in bed laying down, but she keep putting the booty on you.
Okay.
She just brushing the
Okay.
money from the booty on you.
Right.
That's like a hint, like,
That's a hint.
and the
That's a
guy in
hint.
the guy here, he like, all right, one more time, I swear, one more time, it's going
That's
down.
how I used to get you. That's a hint.
Exactly.
But that's where
Okay.
you have to use your common sense to know if someone is like manipulating you and being, you know, malicious with keeping sex from you, because they wouldn't do things like that.
Makes sense. Makes sense. I feel like I'm a little outnumbered right now though, but
I mean,
No, we understand where you're coming from, but when you think of having, you know, two people and they've agreed that we're not gonna have sex and you've put your boundaries, that's a big thing, like setting your boundary. Like, what you're not gonna do is lay here in this bed with them little shorts on and you know what we're not gonna do. So go put your sweats on and let's watch Netflix. Like, set those boundaries, or I'm leaving. You know, I'm gonna go
right.
stay at my place. Set those boundaries ahead of time so she knows. And if that's something she's doing, then you know she's not respecting, excuse me, your boundaries.
Yep.
So if a male, if she was on the other foot, because it's typically women that say, okay, I want to be celibate, right?
How now. You know? You researched this?
No, I haven't, but this is from this is hood knowledge right now.
Okay.
But
don't be sending nobody off. Tell them where you got the information from.
Hood knowledge. I'm sorry, guys. Hood knowledge. What's that? with men, I just feel like men been around men sometimes. It's like, I'm trying to figure a way to put it, but a woman will sometimes think like, why don't he want to assess me? The first question is he gay?
Mm-hmm.
But why is it like that? So just like it's a double standard for other things, why men can't just be like, nah, I'm not with that. I'm trying to, you know, find myself and make sure I'm good with myself.
Because of the nature of the man. That's why we think that.
But women can be the same way.
Women and men have different sexual natures.
What's your research?
I'm a counselor.
You know, I think you guys are both right. You have to know who you're with. Like, there's nothing wrong with men saying that they want to wait. There are men out there who want to wait. And I think society has put in our minds that a man can't wait. Mm-hmm. And that if he does wait, then he is gay or he's lying and he's sleeping with someone else, instead of just giving that person the benefit of the doubt of wanting what he wants or choosing to wait. So that we just have to restructure our minds on that.
Okay. So the next question is strictly from one of our listeners. And the question is, it's like a two-part question. It said, mm-hmm. It is, how can I be more sexual without using penetration? And the second part is, how can I use sensation to make my partner achieve an orgasm?
Okay. So there is sex, and then there's intimacy. You don't need sex to be intimate with someone. Being intimate can be as simple as rubbing someone's back, giving a hug, sitting together, cuddling. Those things can make you desire sex, just like watching porn or something like that, you know? And with that, that leads into sensation. Paying attention to the touch, you know, when someone rubs your back, how it feels. Rubbing in your hair. I love when someone rubs in my hair. That feels absolutely amazing. the smell, you know, just breaking down those senses. Pay attention to your senses, not focusing on, is this leading to sex? Everything doesn't have to lead to sex. You can genuinely just enjoy being turned on and being with a person. And I think we get stuck in being outside of the moment, like, what's next? How are we going to do this? What is this going to look like? Da, da, da. Instead of being in the moment and appreciating that person and what they're providing for you and filling you up with in that moment. So that's going to help with all of the sensations. Take the pressure off yourself. We put so much pressure on ourselves. Just take the pressure off and let it go where it's going to go. It doesn't have to end in sex. It's okay if it doesn't. Just enjoy the person that you're with.
What are the different ways to practice sexual self-care?
So definitely paying attention to your body. So think about when you take a shower, you jump out of the shower, you throw your lotion on, you put your clothes on. So what happens if you take the time to actually pay attention to lotioning yourself or oil, you know, like paying attention to you rubbing yourself, what your body feels like, what the touch feels like on your body. That's part of sexual self-care. Taking intimate time, just like you would set your room up for a partner with candles and music and the incense, do that for yourself and get to know your genital area, get to know your penis, get to know your vulva, get to know your vagina. What does it look like? What's in there? What do you touch when you're in there? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? You know, that's part of sexual care. And then that goes into, I know exactly what I want. I know exactly where I want you to touch me. I do this with myself all the time. And you're able to have that mutual sexual connection. Like, it always starts with self. Making sure that you're healthy, going to the doctor, getting, you know, your regular screenings, your health, making sure you're eating correctly. What you eat really, it plays a whole lot of part with your secretions. Drinking your water, those are ways to pour into yourself sexually.
Okay. Listeners, I just hope y'all got y'all notepad out. I'm just saying. So the next question is, can your marriage or relationship survive if you don't have the same sex drive as your partner?
Definitely. But only if goes back to communication. I would say it goes back to communication and respect. You know, respect me enough to compromise if I can't meet you where you are. You know, and respect me enough to not be judgmental when I tell you that I'm not where you're at.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do couples incorporate sex when they have all of these different things going on? Like, they have children, they both work, and there's just a lot going on, everybody's tired. How do they incorporate sex into their lives?
I am big on scheduling it. Scheduling it just like you would schedule a date. You both determine what's going to be a good day. You put it on your calendar. You prepare for it. So the day comes, you guys are sending each other nice little messages or nasty messages, whichever you prefer. Just getting each other prepared for the night. You send the kids where you're going to send them. You set the mood if you want to do dinner. And you schedule it just like you schedule anything else. You schedule time to go to the gym. You schedule time to go to the doctor. You schedule time to get your hair done. Why is your partner not a priority to put on the schedule as well if you guys know you're busy?
Wow, that's crazy. I just
he is totally scheduling stuff.
I'm not against it. I'm not against scheduling it. I'm not against scheduling it. But from, I don't know, I just feel like that kind of makes it
boring, not exciting.
But the way that Natasha put it, though, when I, during that day, make sure that y'all talking, you know, you sending nasty messages.
But when your wife put it like, okay, whatever.
You ain't put it like that.
Nah, I did. You don't listen. You don't listen, because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Thank you.
Another thing is, you're welcome. Another thing is, these, well, I don't know if people are still having like hour-long sex or whatever. I don't know. But quickies. You may have to incorporate quickies wherever you can get in. If the kids are eating breakfast and you got to step into the bathroom for a 5-10 minute quickie, quickies are fun. And it's straight to the point.
100% agree with that. 100%.
You dirty.
So how often should a person masturbate and what are the benefits?
Oh, there's no limit. There's no limit to masturbation. It, you know, it helps you go to sleep. It helps get those feel good endorphins going in your brain. It decreases your stress. Just, there's no limit. If you have to do it 5 times a day, I'm for it.
Wow.
What you gotta do?
Just see, you quit.
I mean, honestly, at this point, we're quarantined. What else is there to do?
You are absolutely correct, which brings me to my next suggestion. Y'all need to do a celibacy challenge, because don't be having no babies in 9 months because y'all ain't got nothing.
Listen, else to do. I've been telling people, them babies, them Sagittarius babies, they're coming.
Wait, because ain't nobody got time. It's too many baby showers, okay?
Well, you can save your money now, so you'll be prepared because nothing's open.
You're right. So now we're going to play our game called Melanated Minute. And during this game, we're just going to ask some questions and you say the first thing that comes to mind.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
So, monogamy or polygamy?
Monogamy.
What does sexual liberation mean to you?
Free.
Okay. First word that comes to mind, healthy relationships.
Oh my gosh. Present moment.
Toxic relationships.
Verbal abuse.
Family.
Feel good.
Sex.
All the time.
Self-care.
Sleep.
Polygamy.
Polygamy?
The first word.
Not bad. Okay. Not bad.
Monogamy.
Common.
What's the craziest situation you've encountered while counseling someone?
The craziest situation. So, does it need to be pertaining to sex?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So I had a couple come in, and she, and this may not be the craziest, but this is the one that stood out to me the most. So he was into video games. So they came in, the issue was the fact that they were into video games. So she came in and she said, I'm tired of it. I just went in, I stood in front of him, I took off all of my clothes, and I just stood in front of the TV. And she said, would you believe he said, move to the side. Soon as I finish this game, this round, I'm coming to tap that. And she was so upset.
I think that sounds like something all these males would do playing 2K. I'm just
not
saying.
Me. I don't know. I'm
and you know, as a therapist, I was speechless. I just, all I could do was sit there.
Now I'm pausing the game. I don't know. I'm pausing the game.
All right, we'll see.
I'm pausing.
She said, we'll see. We're about to find out.
We'll see.
Well, Natasha, we definitely appreciate you coming on our podcast with us today. I think you've given a lot of things to think about for people, and I hope they were taking notes. I took a couple notes in my phone as we were talking. So, yeah.
Can you tell people how to reach you or where to find you, your IG or anything?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. It's at Javery Wellness, at Javery Wellness. It's Javery IWS on Facebook. And then my website is just www.javerywellness.com. I am doing online therapy right now, so nothing else to do.
So wherever y'all at, she doing online therapy, so y'all holler at her, okay?
Yeah, with it, and I hope y'all learn to just not be afraid to communicate when something is going on.
I appreciate you guys reaching out to me and, you know, allowing me to come on and kind of spit a little bit of knowledge. I just want everyone to become more sexually aware and more open.
Yes, yes. And our whole goal for the podcast is just informing and trying to maintain relationships and make them healthier. So thank you so much.
All right, there y'all have it from Natasha herself. Hope y'all was taking some notes. And if y'all out here doing what y'all do, don't forget, safe sex is great sex. You better wear latex.
Because you don't want that latex.
Yeah, I think I'm latex. Oh. All right, y'all have a good one. Peace.